Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 4 of our study of Ephesians and Philippians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It helps other people find out about the 10-week Bible study, and my heart is that people would fall in love with God and with His Word. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, flood our hearts with the knowledge of you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Yesterday, what we read, Paul was talking about considering everything that he had gained from a human perspective, from being a Pharisee and from obeying the law, quote unquote, obeying the law, all of the righteousness that he derived from man's praise. He considered all garbage, refuse, the stuff you throw in a chamber pot, saying, instead of that, I want to press on to knowing Jesus, not just in his glory, but also in his sufferings. I want to live a life worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. And he started out by alluding to the fact that he's saying, I haven't obtained all that. And now he's very specific in verse 12. I have not obtained that. I am not there. I have not lived a life worthy of the sacrifice made for me. I have not lived a life worthy of the gospel, but it's my goal. It's what I'm pressing on toward. Paul desperately wants everything in his life to be worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus. I've said this many times on the podcast, but I want to say it again. We do not get saved through our works that we do for Jesus. But when we have been saved, when we have accepted the salvation of Jesus, and we looked at what we have actually been saved from, the punishment, the shame, the separation, what we've been saved from and what we've been saved to, the glory, the praise, the reward that we gain from knowing God, when we see the gap, there's nothing else that makes sense other than what Paul is talking about here, other than doing everything in our power to strive to live worthy of the call that's on our life. Nothing else makes sense. Sitting back again and saying, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for doing what you've done. I'll talk to you when I see you face to face again. And in between, I'm going to live how I want. That makes no sense. That's terrible. So the only thing that makes sense is doing everything in our power to live for Jesus. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul again is saying, listen, if I'm going to strive for anything, if I'm going to have an ambition for anything in life, it's that I want to live worthy of what Jesus has done for me. Paul says, this is how you do it. You wake up. And I like this term. A favorite pastor of mine has phrased it this way. We get up, we hit delete, and we move on. We go to the Lord every time we fail. We go to Him, we ask for forgiveness, and we forget it like He does. And we move on. When we stumble, when we fall short, and then we wallow in that sin, not only does it keep us from pressing on from Jesus, it actually pulls us back. I've heard it said, you know, in the Christian life, there is growth and there's backsliding. There is no plateau. There is no maintenance of your Christian faith. You grow closer to Him or you grow further away. There's no in between. There's no in between. We press on into Him or we fall back. And the way that we fall back is by wallowing in our failures. What Paul is saying is the way to live this life worthy of Him, to press on with all of your might, is to forget what happened yesterday. Ask for forgiveness. Go to God. Don't just justify yourself. Go to God and repent. ask him for forgiveness, and then forget it and move on. It's much easier said than done. But as we grow in that, that is a practice of repentance and moving on that we have to become excellent at. We don't want to just forgive ourselves, but once God has forgiven us, once we have gone to him in repentance, we have to forgive ourselves because he has. And we move on. We forget what is in the past by repentance and just moving on and pressing back on. We get up. The righteous, David defined the righteous not as those that never sin, but those that when they sin, instead of wallowing in it and beating themselves up over it, they ask for forgiveness, they get up and they run to God instead of away from him. That's the human tendency, is to do what Adam and Eve did. When they sinned, they ran away from God. That is what is defined as unrighteous, is when we run away from God when we sin. Righteousness is defined as running to God when we sin and repent, running back to him. That's who we are. That's how we press on. That's how we strive for what Paul is talking about here. It's what you and I have to lay hold of. And we haven't attained. Just like Paul hadn't attained, we haven't attained either. But it's what we're striving for. It's what we're pressing on for. And he's saying, brothers and sisters, he's saying, listen to me, all of you. I don't have this, but I'm doing this. Do this with me. Let's do this together. This is why the congregation, this is why gathering together in church is so important. Hearing teaching is good. Worshiping together, that's really good. Those are necessary parts of our Christian life. But I believe the most necessary part of us gathering together is that we would encourage each other in this. Get up, repent, and press on toward him. That is the most powerful thing that we encourage each other in doing. And when we do, as I've said in this study, when we do what our culture is encouraging people and churches to do, to say, hey, we're just on this journey together. We're sinning. It's no big deal. We're going to get there together. It's not a big deal. God understands. We're going to get there. That is so destructive. It is so destructive. There is truth in it. Yes, we are all sinners. And yes, we are on this journey together. But that is not the posture that we can bear to take. The Church of Jesus Christ cannot tolerate saying, we're all sinners, it's all good. No. The posture that we must take, that we must encourage each other with is, hey, yes, you sinned. Ask for repentance and hit delete and start over. Move on. We are all in this together in that. Not in being okay with sin, but repenting of it and striving forward to live worthy of this life that God has called us to. That is the power of the church, that we would encourage each other weekly and daily in that aim. And when the church fails at that, the church has failed. We must encourage each other to press on, to repent before the Lord and press on every time we fail. The West today has a powerless church, in large part because we have abandoned this. Verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if in some point of view you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Again, Paul is not saying that we're having to strive to earn our salvation. He says we've already attained this. We have already attained this salvation, this glory. Let's just strive to live up to it. Let's live a life worthy of this. This word mature, this is a challenging thing. I've heard so many people say, I'm one of the mature Christians. I'm one of the ones that has attained some level of maturity. And this is a very troubling word to me. And I think Paul, in some ways, almost saying it tongue in cheek, saying, hey, if you consider yourself mature, and this is kind of what he's saying, if you consider yourself mature, you should have this view of things. He's saying, if you consider yourself mature and you don't think that, hey, everything is about striving toward living a life worthy of the sacrifice that was made for us, then you're not mature. It's that if you fancy yourself mature, if you consider yourself mature, this is what it looks like. And he's like, and if there's a minor point in here, what I've talked about that you disagree with me on, as far as how we should live in response to the gospel, in response to what Jesus has done for us, if there's one minor point in here that you disagree with me on, that's okay. Press into the Lord and he'll show you that I'm right. That's basically what Paul's saying. He's like, I am not wrong in this. And if you don't see it like this, then you have not attained the maturity that you claim for yourself. This is how big a deal this is. And this is how big a deal that our Western church has abandoned this. This idea of making appropriation for sin in our culture. Say, hey, it's not that big a deal. It's not that bad. God understands. It's destroying us. It's absolutely destroying us. And Paul is saying, if you think that you're mature, if you think you have understanding, if you think you have wisdom and knowledge, and you can teach other people all of these things, and you disagree on this, that everything in our life should be about striving and pressing toward living up to what we've already attained, then you are not mature. You have missed it. And yes, the church in the West has missed it. This is who we are. This is when we go to church, what we should encourage each other with. Hit delete and press on to attain toward what we've already been given. Hit delete. Forget what's in the past and press on toward Jesus. That we would live worthy of the sacrifice made for us. That we would live worthy of the eternal life that we've been given. That's who we are. If you look at your church that you attend right now and it doesn't look like that, then you be the catalyst for change. You be the person that encourages other people around you to hit delete and move on and press on and live worthy of the salvation and the eternity that lies before us. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.